First, in the field of children's health care, child abuse pediatrics is growing as a field of specialty. But there are also questions about the doctors who deal in child abuse protection and how they handle potential cases. A couple of stories in Wisconsin have raised concerns lately. Dee Hall, who's managing editor for Wisconsin Watch, has a new investigative report out looking at this issue. Dee, welcome back to Central Time.
All right. Thanks a lot for having me.
Can you introduce to the family you feature in your piece, the Siebolds?
So, yeah, it's Brenna and Joel Siebold. And at the time, which was in 2018, they had three children. The youngest one, Leo, was about 2 years old. Or I'm sorry, at that moment, he was 9 months old. And he had come down with a fever. And because of a condition that he has, they were instructed to always take him directly to the emergency room. And at that evening, that day, he was running 103 degree temperature. So they took him in.
And why did a child abuse pediatrician end up getting involved in the story?
Well, it was a day later. So when they got to the ER, Leo was, they had to put a catheter in him and put a needle in his arm, and he was thrashing around. They were trying to hold him down. And so by the next day, he developed some bruises on his body, which the child abuse pediatrician at American Family Children's Hospital in Madison accused the Siebolds of inflicting.
So what happened next then with this accusation from a physician who's in theory trained in detecting child abuse?
So in that case, the police were called, the Mount Horeb Police Department, which is where they're from and where the alleged abuse would have happened. As it turns out, they know the Siebolds and rejected the allegations out of hand, especially after seeing the bruises, which were exceedingly minor. And then Child Protective Services was called in to investigate, and they have generally a 2-month window during which to investigate and decide whether an allegation is substantiated or not. In their case, they found it not substantiated.
And then introduce us to the doctor at the center of the story.
So the head of the child protection program at American Family Children's Hospital has been for quite a few years, Dr. Barbara Knox. And she is part of this growing field of child abuse pediatricians. There are about 350 in the country now who are in charge of trying to detect cases of child abuse.
And this sounds like a noble, worthy profession, but there are concerns in this case and some others that they are going a little too far in pursuing what they think might be abuse. What's happening?
Well, I talked to some experts who study how these cases spool out, and they told me some of the flaws that they have seen in other cases include the child abuse pediatrician basically, sort of asserting some expertise and knowledge training that they don't have, or overruling specialists who say, no, this isn't a fracture, no, this isn't trauma, no, yes, this is probably a disease and not an injury. So that is what we've been seeing. Not every child abuse pediatrician is doing this, and I don't even know if they're doing it all over the country, but there have been stories. NBC has been doing a lot of groundbreaking work on this, finding that there have been, many, many parents falsely accused of child abuse.
And they also followed a case in the Milwaukee metropolitan area in that report.
Yeah, so in that case, it was a doctor who works at Children's Wisconsin. His name's Dr. John Cox. He has been criminally charged with abusing a 1-month-old infant he and his wife were adopting. There were 15 experts that were assembled by himself by himself and his attorneys, who said that what happened to this child was perfectly explained by what the doctors stated happened, which is he was afraid that he rolled over on the baby while they were sharing a bed.
Now, coming back to the case in Madison, this particular incident with the Siebolds ended up bringing up more questions about Dr. Knox, the head of the child pediatrics unit.
Right. So she was a key witness back in 2007/2009 against a Verona daycare provider who is now serving a 13-year sentence in the Wisconsin State Prison System for allegedly abusing a baby she was watching. There have been, over the past several months, there have been several hearings in that case. It's under appeal, in which experts called by the defense have claimed that there were many explanations for what happened to this infant who did end up dying, and that they saw no signs of actual trauma on the baby.
And also concerns you write about pressure from Dr. Knox and others in this agency on other physicians to go along with their diagnoses?
Right. In this case, Dr. Michael Steer testified that he was subjected to peer pressure, as he described it, from Dr. Knox and other folks at American Family Children's Hospital to conclude that this infant who died was the victim of abuse and trauma. He states that if he were to give that testimony today, he would say that the cause of death is undetermined.
Talking to Dee Hall from Wisconsin Watch about cases in Wisconsin with child abuse pediatricians trying to detect abuse accusations of overreach in a couple of cases here in the state. Dee, you reached out to the hospital and to Dr. Knox. Did you get responses from them on these cases?
The hospital responded to some extent. They declined to talk about individual cases like the Siebold case. They also declined to address the allegation from the Siebolds that Dr. Knox had misrepresented herself as a blood specialist to try to get them to agree to some extra testing that they did not believe was necessary. And so I don't have a response from the hospital on that. I will say that Dr. Knox was placed on leave mid-2019, according to the one letter, the one piece of paper I was able to get from the university. She had been harassing and retaliating against her internal and external colleagues, but I don't know the specifics of any of those allegations. I'm trying to get those from the hospital. But she was paid on she was placed on a paid leave, and then she later left the hospital and now works in Alaska.
You talked to some people, as you mentioned, people who are advocates against child abuse, and even they have some reservations about the way things have worked out in some of these child abuse pediatric settings. What kind of things are they hoping to change to make the system work better?
Well, you know, one thing I'm looking for as a reporter are who else does this better? I know one thing that one of the very few things that the hospital did tell me is that they actually did review their child protection program and they have implemented some changes. They only gave me, I think, one or two small examples of what they're doing. But one of them is to assemble multidisciplinary teams. And that would mean you take not just the child abuse pediatrician, but perhaps the neurologist, perhaps the hematologist, maybe an endocrinologist to come in and all talk about a case and determine is this something that we're pretty sure is child abuse.
Now, you're reporting on this. We had this NBC series on these cases. Is there, and as you said, this doesn't necessarily happen everywhere that there is a child abuse pediatrician, of course, is there a national conversation going on since these revelations?
There's definitely a national one going on regarding the NBC has been doing this series along with the Houston Chronicle for quite a while, and they have highlighted cases from both Texas and around the country. And so I do think there's a growing recognition that this particular position in healthcare wields a lot of power, and it doesn't always do it responsibly when it comes to allegations of child abuse.
I'll bring things around to the Siebolds, the family we started with. What has come for them from all of this?
Well, they're hearing from dozens and dozens of families who say they've had similar experiences. Those families are now reaching out to me. I would hope that people would email me at Wisconsin Watch, which is DHALL at wisconsinwatch.org, to tell me their story. So we are continuing to follow this story closely.
But I imagine people involved in hospitals and child abuse prevention don't want to see an overcorrection here where potential signs of child abuse are ignored. They're trying to find the right middle ground here.
The balance. Yes, exactly right. Nobody is in favor of child abuse. There's just no one in favor of that. But what is equally terrible is child abuse allegations lodged against parents who are completely innocent for things that happen to their kids, that happen to kids every day, falls, illnesses, a stroke, things of that nature that parents should not be going through the ringer. Parents and caregivers, frankly, daycare providers are very much at risk of these kind of allegations if there's just no medical basis to do that.
In our last half a minute or so, Dee, you've mentioned one or two. What are a couple of threads you're watching for as you continue to watch this story?
Well, that's the main thing. I'm trying to collect the stories of individual folks, and I'm also looking at best practices. You know, what's the best way to handle these things? And then later on, I'll be doing a story about the Jennifer Hancock case, which I mentioned earlier.
Dee, thanks again, as always, for joining us today.
All right. Thanks for having me.
That's Dee Hall, managing editor for Wisconsin Watch. We talked to her about child abuse pediatricians. She's been writing about them and her investigation of a controversial case here in the state. You can read more and other investigative journalism in Wisconsin at wisconsinwatch.org. We'll get a link up to that story at WPR.org/centraltime. And again, if you have an experience like this, you can reach out to Dee with your story. Again, you can find contact information over at wisconsinwatch.org.